third and final hour here. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. I'm Damian Barling. This is The Lowdown. We thank you so much for tuning in. Can I just throw something out real quick? We had this spirited discussion in the last hour about Becky Hammon potentially being Sacramento Kings head coach, or would you consider her for an interview? Been responding to a lot of people on Text Nation. Had one particular guy say, I don't think that's a good look. Wouldn't really work out for us. Don't like it right now. And I text back, well, who do you think would be a good fit? Mm-hmm. Sent back Luke Walton.
Okay.
It's a name we've heard a million times, right? Does Luke Walton have more coaching experience than Becky Hammon does?
He does. For an NBA team, he does. He's got 42 games or 43 games at the NBA level as a head coach.
But so it is what we brought up about him, though. Interesting earlier was like, does he have enough reps? I mean, he has more, but. Yeah.
43.
That's 43.
Yeah.
You're making the argument to me right now that because Luke Walton has 43.
It's 43 more than Becky as a head coach in the NBA during the regular season when the games count.
I still, and again, not to diminish any of these guys, I still love Steve Kerr's quote the other day when he was at the getting his award, and he was talking about the time when Luke Walton was in, and there was some stressful time, and he's like, you know what? We've got really good players. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Kerr's kind of got that calming, and it's like, the reality is they got a great team. And not that it diminishes them, but let them play.
Wasn't there, he was mic'd up on, maybe it was his first game back.
Oh, the best.
And what did,
Steph hit a three right away.
He shot a three from about 30-some-odd feet away, and Steve Kerr sits down and goes, that's great coaching.
Yeah, what a great coach I am. It's awesome. He gets it.
Watch the NFL draft with Sports 1140 this Thursday, beginning at 5 p.m. at the Republic Bar and Grill on 15th Street in downtown Sacramento. You have a chance to win tons of prizes, including tickets to see Brantley Gilbert. More info at khtk.com. Speaking of coaching moves, David Blatt's interviewed, or maybe he hasn't interviewed, but Phil Jackson has expressed interest in interviewing David Blatt for the New York Knicks position.
Oh, that's interesting.
David Blatt, what do you think about?
I think that's a great combination.
Again, his name has been floated out there, as every name out there has with the Sacramento Kings, but
he's not coming here.
And I'm okay with that, by the way.
I think if you've coached 700 games, he said, and he's obviously a good coach. He knows basketball. I think the combination of all of his knowledge with all of Phil's knowledge could be very intriguing. I think that might actually work quite well.
I guess I'm wondering how David Blatt would fit with Carmelo Anthony. I mean, Carmelo Anthony's still the guy there until he's not, unless you're going to move him, he's still the guy there.
Is this a question?
So is Porzingis.
This is a question like LeBron.
That's what I was
dynamic
thinking.
Dynamic,
right?
Carmelo
exactly.
He doesn't appear to be that kind of player where he would make those kind of demands.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're both in that star, difficult maybe to coach at times, but I think LeBron wants more of an impact, where Carmelo's like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to agree with my coach, but if not, then I'll just keep playing.
And cashing my checks.
Yeah.
Until I get him fired later in the season.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe in a subtle way.
When he's 30, when he's 30 and 11.
And less subtweeting and all that stuff. Yeah.
We'll let it all die down a little bit, and then we'll ditch him.
Yeah.
Okay, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. JR, you're on, man. What do you got?
What's up, boys?
JR.
Holla.
Hey, Luke Walton actually has a better winning percentage than Kerr anyway. He's better.
Oh, hands
right.
Oh, clearly.
Right.
The
clearly.
Stats don't lie.
Clearly.
Stats do not lie.
The only problem with him ever being a Kings coach, I always think of him as a Laker. Just can't have Laker coaches coaching the Kings. Just can't have. I mean, I couldn't stand John Wetzel because of that.
Oh, wow.
Wetzel was the whole downfall of our organization, for God's sake.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Clearly.
JR, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you.
He held him back.
I think, I said the same thing about Kevin McHale potentially coaching the Lakers, but come on. Luke Walton. No one says, Luke Walton's Lakers teams won all those titles and beat up the Kings.
I liked it when I can still remember this, and Kenny Thomas probably does too. There was a game here where Kenny Thomas actually got a triple-double and was abusing Luke Walton. And I'm like, why are we even watching the matchup of Thomas versus Luke Walton? But it was a thing. It was a thing for one day.
One day.
Just one.
Just one. Thank God for the Toronto Raptors. They really saved us from an ugly night of basketball last night. They were down.
They were balling. Yeah.
They were down early, but, boy, they made the most of that quarter and a half, didn't take their first lead till about 4 minutes left, down 17, thinking, oh, man, I was thinking, I go back to what you said, Jason, before the playoffs started, our show leading into the first day of the playoffs is, Toronto can't lose this series.
Right. Because they have not been able to win a round, and they're a good team. This is their best year they've had.
And then they lost game one, and I'm thinking, man, Jason really might have nailed this one. And then watching that game last night, they're going to go down 3-2.
And lose two home games.
Oh, headed to Indiana. Yeah.
But with all that said, you think it's going seven? I mean, you think the Pacers just back? Because the Pacers have had some big leads a lot of this series.
There's no reason to believe it's not.
Yeah.
There's no reason to believe it's not going seven.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, just the way that they have to be demoralized right now. Obviously, they're going to be happy to get back home. They'll get energized when they're back home. But the Pacers have to be looking for answers right now, whereas Toronto's like, we've got all the answers.
It's true, because we're praising Toronto for the comeback, but some team has to blow the lead, and that was Indiana.
Yeah.
Here's Dwayne Casey talking about Paul George.
One guy's not going to stop him. And for whatever reason, I thought our defensive help was there. You know, one guy's not going to stop Paul George. He's such a great scorer. You know, again, I don't want to put that on. Just Norm did a good job, but it wasn't a one-man show.
We'll see. We'll see what's next for that. That series has been all over the place. Every other series in the Eastern Conference, with the exception of the sweep with Cleveland, as you look at, home court basically is held, right? Home court's held across the board. This Pacers-Toronto series has been all over the place.
Yes, it has.
It's been blowouts. It's been close games. It's been comebacks. It's been wins on the opposing courts. It's been a mess. And then Celtics and Hawks, there was nothing, absolutely nothing enjoyable about that game.
Nope.
Yeah, I remember when I was watching in the it was early enough fourth, and I can't remember what the stretch was. I think they said from the second quarter on, mid-second quarter, to that point in the fourth, they were shooting like 70%. Forget it. I mean, Atlanta's not going to lose that game.
Did you see Drake's post about Paul George?
Yeah.
Talking about how I knew Paul George was scared. I think he made like an Instagram post.
He did, with a tear coming down. And
that's cute.
Dude. 3-2, I knew you were scared or something.
Do you know what Paul George has been through, bruh? Come on, man.
Right? Just to get back to this level?
Broke his leg.
And it was gruesome.
In a nasty fashion, in a game, in a glorified practice that was on national television.
For Team USA.
And came back and had the year that he had this year. Come on, Drake.
Drake needs, well, obviously, I think he went way too far. But it may not be his fault entirely.
He's a celebrity mascot, dude. I hate celebrity mascots.
Because who's the first one that really?
Spike freaking Lee.
And I love Spike Lee with every pore in my body. But he's the one that started that, and I felt like the NBA should have cracked down on that, but they probably
can't. They embrace it.
Because they're spending so much for those tickets, and you want that visual on your sideline. You want to see people like Spike Lee and Denzel Washington and Jack on your sideline.
I was going to say, does Jack count?
Because Jack used to get
little. But Jack does it right.
No, Jack got involved a couple of times with officials. You ask Jack and ask refs. He'll talk to them.
Okay, the next time I talk to Jack Nicholson, I'll ask him about
right
this.
Now. Yeah. We can call Jack right now.
Hello.
Young Matthew, get Jack Nicholson on the phone, please. Thank
Jack
you.
Jack will tell you. And others will Jack talks to them, and he gets in their face and gets. He used to be a lot more demonstrative, you know, maybe 20 years ago.
But you don't count him as a celebrity mascot, or you do?
I don't feel like he's. I know he's there.
Yeah.
And I always know that he's there, and you wait for the camera shot of him, but you wait for the camera shot of the people who are in L.A.
Right.
Always, because that's part of what who's sitting courtside? Right. Is it Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, Denzel you mentioned? Who is it?
He's not going to do what Drake did last night, where he's clapping
that.
In the. Who was that of?
Stucky.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he
that's
was inches.
Like, completely unnecessary.
At that point, I'm like, I have nothing against Drake, but I wanted Stucky to hit him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
throw the ball right in his face.
Yeah. That's the exact response I had. And he did it. He did the where he, I don't remember who it was, but he was standing behind someone yelling at him, and they got the 5 second count on the inbound play.
Yeah. That was a late regular season. Yeah.
But it's exactly like Spike Lee. Like, I absolutely can't. Like, I don't want to see. Because Spike Lee wears these bright colors that not only does he do it at the Garden, he freaking travels with the Knicks. And every time the Knicks in Cleveland, where's Spike? Right there.
Yeah.
Knicks in Miami, where's Spike? Oh, he's right there. And he's a cartoon character running up and, you know, Spike is 4'2". He runs up and down and he does the, he does that whole thing. It's like, bro.
But did he pay the price, though? Because remember, all New York lambasted him when he taunted Reggie Miller and Reggie went nuts.
Did it stop him?
He went nuts. Well, he was kind of in hiding, and there was a a whole movement in New York. They're like, we don't want him coming to any more games.
It's his fault.
They didn't want him to come back into the Garden again. He couldn't go anywhere in New York for a while.
You think he pays for those tickets?
Now, maybe not. Then he did, right? But now, probably not.
He's been there long enough to just like spikes it down.
And he's totally.
We'll give you these tickets if you just freaking sit down.
He's Brooklyn royalty, man. Come on. He's royalty. Oh,
Brooklyn? So why isn't he down the borough wearing the black and white then?
Because Brooklyn is Knicks. He's a Knicks kid. I'm just saying.
All right. We'll preview tonight's NBA playoff games. They look a whole lot more attractive.
We hope.
That's next. Yeah, and Jason Terry's got a guarantee about one of them. That's next on the Lowdown. Third and final hour rolls along. We got your 10K a day code word coming up in just about 4 minutes. That's 220 to be exact. Don't move. Your chance to win $1,000 is on the way. We recapped some of the NBA playoff action last night. Really not the best night of basketball. Toronto's comeback and the buzzer beater that didn't count.
Yeah, that's right.
Made for a fun little stretch. Tonight, if nothing else, brings a lot of intrigue. You got Charlotte and Miami. Miami dropped two in Charlotte. So you got an even series. What are you going to get from that? How's Miami going to play at home? But really, it's about Portland and what remains of the Los Angeles Clippers and then the Steph Curry-less Golden State Warriors against the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, can we just get the Rockets out of here? Can we be done?
There's no chance can they steal one tonight, or is it just no chance at all? Can we?
As far as the playoff, I mean, we've made fun of Jason Terry for making the playoff guarantee. No one's going to hold
him. Why?
Yeah,
why?
Why? People do it so many times now. But I would just say to him, you know what? I believe you, but have you seen your teammates? You know what? Do you have faith in your own guys? Do you think Dwight's going to come in here and play like a champion? Like he says I'm a champion no matter what people say. Really? No, you're not.
We opened the show, Ken, with breaking news from ESPN, and this is a huge scoop. I don't know where these guys at ESPN get their sources. It's really incredible. But they reported to us right as we took the air that Dwight Howard is not likely to be back in Houston. Incredible reporting on their part.
Right? I mean, they really dug deep on that one.
They're stellar.
But you could see that is obviously coming. I guess now the question is, where does he go, and does he play harder? Maybe he should have thought of this before, but do you think he's obviously trying to attract another team. You would think that he would maybe try to kick it up a notch.
Yeah. Maybe he can't kick it up a notch. Maybe this is Dwight Howard. Maybe he is, you know, you mentioned he had 13 and 13 the other night, or maybe it was 13 and 13 in the game that they won. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, is that good enough? Like 13 and 13 for Dwight Howard. One, it's not good enough for what he was.
Right.
And two, it's not good enough for what he wants to be paid.
Yes. And to beat the Golden State Warriors either, all of them.
No, it's not good enough for that.
You know, he might just try to step up and go off tonight. It may be one of those situations where they actually change their game plan and try to go to him a bit more.
James Harden would not allow that.
He won't?
James Harden would not allow that. James Harden will go 2 for 57 before he allows that to happen.
No, that's very possible.
If there's one guy who can match Kobe Bryant's 50 shots, it's James Harden.
What happened to the Rockets? You guys know what seed they were last year?
I know, a number two.
The number two seed.
Yeah.
Played in the conference finals. Held court, right? Held seed. Yeah. Held form all the way up until the conference finals.
And lost to the champs.
And then all of a sudden, they didn't really change any of their players.
No. Barely got in. Needed to have the Kings JV team show up the final day to get in.
What happened from June, which is when they ended up losing in the Western Conference Finals, from June to October?
Yeah.
What happened in Houston? That's just crazy. Completely fell apart. And they're going to blame the coach, obviously. That's why they fired him. But
barely gave him a chance.
11 games.
11 games. Like, that's weird.
Well, it's the question we pose. Would you rather be a dysfunctional team that was supposed to be good, like the Houston Rockets, or a dysfunctional team you didn't expect much from, like the Sacramento Kings? Yeah. Like, what's worse?
Oh, no. A lot of folks expected a lot from the Sacramento Kings this year.
Conference finals?
No.
Two seed?
But looking at the players that were brought in, when you bring in players like Marco Bellinelli and you go get a nice, smart veteran like the Caron Butler and you get Rajon Rondo, you've got to go with Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins, you're like, and you did a nice draft pick with Willie Cauley-Stein, you've got this coach and George Karl, you've got Vlade saying we're making the playoffs this year. And then you look in January, and you're right there in the eighth spot.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's thinking, okay, you made all the right moves for the year, get to the playoffs. I find that to be far more disappointing than the Houston Rockets.
We got your 10K a day code word right now, and that code word is LAKE. Text LAKE to 80787 or enter online at khdk.com by the end of the hour. Message and data rates may apply. We'll text you back to confirm your entry, and one randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. All entries will also automatically qualify for a $25,000 grand prize. And I'll throw this back at you. You got a team with James Harden, Dwight Howard. You add guys like Josh Smith. You have Kevin McHale as your coach for at least 11 games. Finishing, sneaking into the playoffs on the last day isn't good enough.
Nope.
It's not good enough.
Yeah.
I would argue that that is far more dysfunctional than what went on with the Sacramento Kings.
Really?
They were title contenders. True. No one knew coming into the season that Golden State was going to go 73-9. Everyone thought they would be good. No one thought they would be that much better than they were.
Right.
For them to fall that far off, go from title contenders to sneaking into the playoffs on the last day because they played the Sacramento Kings reserves and because the Utah Jazz faltered the last four or five games of the season, it's not good enough. More dysfunctional.
That's tough because they didn't make any moves to try to get better. And so they kind of came in with the same talent, and they played to that level certain times during the year, and then obviously quite a few times they played well beneath that. But they didn't go in making a bunch of moves to try to get better or say they were going to be better. The Kings made a lot of moves to get better during the offseason, and they did not work out. They imploded instead of improving. That's more disappointing.
We do have to read this quote at some point today. Now's a good time to get to it. People called me the DeMarcus Whisperer. I was honest with him, and at the end of the day, he knew I cared about him. Who said that?
Coach Cal.
Mike Malone.
Makes sense.
Mike Malone.
And even that, I mean.
Mike Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, you know, the more we talk about DeMarcus and the more everyone puts it off on the coach has to approach him the right way and everyone has to approach him the right way, and I disagree with that. It's the opposite. You need to approach the game in a different way. You need to approach your coaches the right way. You need to approach your teammates the right way. You need to approach the organization the right way.
You got to allow your coach to coach you.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first segment of the 20-part interview with DeMarcus Cousins starts tomorrow morning at 7:30 with The Drive.
I am so looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
I'll say this. We were at that bowling event with DeMarcus Cousins, and he came over and sat down at the table, and it was – I don't remember who it was. I think it was Dave, Deuce, me. I think all four of us were there.
You three interviewed him, I think.
And he was as calm and cool and as relaxed. He was in a non-basketball environment around a bunch of fans in just a totally different atmosphere.
He shines there.
I'm looking forward. I'm genuinely looking forward to hear how this conversation went just sitting at his house. Dave took, you know, some broadcasting equipment right over to his house. They sat down and did their thing.
Yeah.
I'm very curious what he said.
I'm really hoping, and I do expect that Dave is going to, or did do this, ask him the tough questions. Mm-hmm. Very simple things like, why? Why do you behave the manner that you do in public, in front of all these fans, these kids, at the basketball game?
Who he's very good with, by the way.
He's great with kids. Yeah. He's amazing with kids. But then he gets that uniform on, and he's not in his right mind anymore.
Well, we just had a conversation, you and I did, about how we act at work sometimes when things aren't going right.
Yes. He and I had a private conversation about how sometimes I might yell.
Use a couple colorful words.
Yes.
Use a couple colorful words. And, you know, DeMarcus does the same thing. Yeah. He just does it in front of a stadium full of people.
Exactly.
Well, and I also wonder, and I don't know, I haven't heard the interview yet, but even if he says all the right things all the way through. Mm-hmm. It's one of those to me where I need to see it on the court. Need to see it transpire. But it would still be, I still want to hear it. I still want to hear the reasoning where some of these things happen, or just what do you think things about the team?
Okay, yeah. Dangerous question. If that does happen, does Carmichael Dave end up coming off like your boy, Adam Schefter?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is a dangerous question.
Right?
I have to reserve judgment. Yeah, I have to wait till I don't want to play the if he does, like.
We'll wait
to see what he says, and I guess again, part one of 50 starts tomorrow at 7:30 with The Drive. The other game, the Clippers and the Trailblazers, it's been a really fun series, but the whole dynamic of that series has changed. Do you want to update us on the San Francisco Giants game real quick?
Is this real? What's going on? 10 hits, 10 runs, they're now only 10-4. They were just down, weren't they down 4-3?
They were down 4-3 when we headed into our last commercial break. It's 10-4 now.
10-4, good buddy.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's the fourth inning.
It's the bottom of the fourth.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while.
Giants bats are coming back, maybe?
Finally.
Well, it looks like the Padres pitchers are throwing batting practice.
Yeah.
I mean, every pitch is right down the middle.
Isn't that what they've done? Do the Padres know the season started?
Actually, I did look. It is a pitching machine.
Oh,
it's
it
just,
is. Oh,
just
I
lobbing
see
them in.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
With a mullet. Yes. It's a pitching machine with a mullet and
yep.
a beard.
Yep.
Okay,
that
back.
Might be a fan. They just brought out there.
Good
it's
for
fan
you,
appreciation
buddy.
Day.
There it is. Good for you,
everybody
buddy.
Hits.
Drink it in.
The Padres don't have fans.
Oh, young Mathew, that hurt.
The Clippers and the Trailblazers tonight. Obviously, the complexion of that series has completely changed. Not only is Chris Paul out, Blake Griffin is out, both for the remainder of the playoffs. Portland can get this one.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Clippers could have beaten the Warriors. I don't know if the Blazers can. I think for fans, the best series, though, would be to see the Blazers, this Blazer team, versus the Warriors because
they're healthy.
They're healthy. That's it. There's a chance, right?
Oh, yeah. Best case scenario. Portland beats the Clippers, and somehow Houston beats the Warriors.
Oh, my
gosh. You're
going to want
to watch the playoffs after that happens.
Then that's where we're going to reseed.
Right.
The best is the Spurs and the Thunder, and that's the second round.
Yeah,
instead.
True title contender
gets
eliminated.
Yeah. And someone like the Rockets or Blazers is in the conference finals.
Yeah, but even before they make the changes you're talking about by reseeding, I think before that is talking about opening it up to the top 16
teams.
Yeah,
that's another.
Period.
Yeah.
Both conferences combined, mm-hmm. the top 16.
Yeah.
Because remember, we've always had, until this year, the Eastern Conference had teams that were 36 wins and you're making the playoffs.
It was much, much closer to even this year. Much closer to even. We talked a lot about the NFL draft. It's tomorrow. We're going to dig into the needs of the 49ers and the Raiders next on The Lowdown. Bring your kids to the Junior NBA WNBA Skills Challenge this Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the Rancho Cordova Sports and Event Center. It's open to ages 9 through 14. Winners will advance to the regionals in L.A. for the chance to win an all-expense-paid trip to the Nationals in New York. The event will also feature guest speaker and former Sacramento Monarch Ruthie Bolton. For registration information, go to jrnba.com.
Ooh, Ruthie Bolton. I saw her yesterday morning.
Where?
On Good Day. And she let me touch them.
I beg your pardon.
Touch what?
Both of them. Her gold medals.
Oh, okay.
Ruthie, I think Ruthie actually does just walk around with her gold medals.
I would.
She had them in a separate bag. I was like, you bring them? She's like, yeah, they're right here.
I don't go anywhere without these things.
She pulled them out. I got to wear them. It was awesome on Good Day yesterday. It was so much fun.
That doesn't always go over well, by the way, with some of the other women who have gold medals. I recall it in 2008 when the women's team won their gold medal. They had beaten Australia. And Lisa Leslie was on the podium, and she unzips her jacket, and she has her other three on.
Oh, my.
As she's getting her fourth, she's wearing her other three, and the entire team looked at her like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me.
Let me make some space.
You've got to be kidding
me. You go ahead and take this other right. Let me move these other three out there. Oh, those are heavy. Those are heavy.
Where did I win this one?
Oh, got a story for all of them, too. Oh, I hurt my ankle before this one.
If you've got four medals, come on.
If you had Michael Phelps' number of medals, Summer Olympics are 100 days away, by the way.
Yeah.
Is anyone looking forward to the Summer Olympics?
I love the Summer Olympics. Just don't drink the water in Rio.
Right, in Rio's.
And don't get bit by anything and don't.
Oh, my goodness.
Their argument for the mosquito situation
Zika virus,
it's cool because it's not summer in August here. It's winter.
Oh.
So while it may still be hot and a little bit humid, most of the mosquitoes, I don't even worry about it. There aren't very many mosquitoes here.
They have so many issues there right now. It's such a beautiful place, and yet they're just going to have to really, really, really shifted in gear to get ready for, I think, a middle of August, I do believe, is the start of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Never judge an Olympic city by the way that it looks during the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because you can bet a whole lot of work went into that to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
They had fake buildings in Beijing covering up abandoned buildings.
Really?
No, I'm dead serious.
Wow.
I mean, like, giant, almost like curtains covering stuff up. You could only drive on certain days. Like each odd numbered license plates could drive on one day.
Was even that because of the smog?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the smog was serious. It was disgusting. It was one of the nastiest.
What'd it taste like?
It was bad, too. It was not a good look. Like, you walked around with your face scrunched up there. Thick. NFL draft is tomorrow, and there's one name who's not being drafted who I think is just going to kind of hang over the draft for a while, and that's Sam Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard so much about him wanting out of Philadelphia, mad that Philadelphia has moved up. His agent's doing all the talking for him, and Jason this morning, or I guess it was late last night, we heard he doesn't want anything to do with Chip Kelly or the San Francisco 49ers, despite the fact they need a quarterback.
Right. That's I don't know why, if you want out, like you've said you want out, and there's an option to go to a place, and even a coach that you know, it's a little bit alarming, one, that you're cutting that one off. Why? And, again, turning down your own starting position, potentially, in Philadelphia. Strange workings there for Bradford.
Aside from diva wide receivers, is there any other position that is more sensitive than the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it's receiver one, right? But, yeah, QB's probably two.
Because you have to throw so much of your organizational support behind that quarterback. Yeah. You have to let them know, we believe in you, we have faith in you, you're our guy. If you make a bad throw, you're not coming out of this game, you're our guy.
Yeah.
Now when you're Sam Bradford, you didn't feel like you had that support in St. Louis. You felt like maybe they were supporting you when they signed you that massive extension, and then they do all this stuff behind your back without you even knowing about it. He's already sensitive, right? He's already feeling a little insecure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they do those things, and then it's easy for he and his agent to perceive it as a slap in the face.
Well, he's got an awful lot of money. And it's weird because I'm seeing so many media things report, well, if he really wants out, give him the money back. In no other sport do people advocate for a player to give money that they've been promised back.
Yeah, but if you haven't played yet, then take it back.
Well, but I can understand them saying that in the fact that it's not like they've said, okay, we're going to draft this kid and you're sitting and we totally lied to you during negotiations and you're really not going to have an opportunity to start. Then I can get it. But that doesn't seem to be the case, as Jason Ross just said. He's been told he's the starter. He just doesn't want to be a lame duck starter.
Right.
He doesn't want to know he doesn't have a future past this year. And you know, in Philadelphia, all it takes, an 0-2 start and a bad first half of that third game.
Maybe less.
And that's a wrap.
You could have a bad quarter and a half before the Carson Wentz. We're talking about the second overall pick in the draft. We're not talking about pick 20. We're not talking about a second round guy. We're not talking about a sexy, sneaky pickup in the third round. The second overall pick in which you gave up a haul to get, that kid is going to have to play.
And the thing that is interesting to me is this. You're talking about giving the money back, right? If you're all about going somewhere, you want your freedom. You don't want to be locked down with this team. You want to go somewhere where you think they're going to need you more and you're going to be a bit more position secure. Then I'm going back to what you said. I'm like, you know what? Give the money back. Say, hey, look, I don't want to be here with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to pay for my freedom. Take this money you promised me back. Just give me the base salary and I'm out of here. I'll go somewhere else. If you're really all that serious about your skills, proving yourself, and being free, then you should do that. But then no player's going to do that because the agent won't let him do that because that costs the agent money too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We talk about draft needs. 49ers need a quarterback. There's no way they're – well, we think they need a quarterback. We keep reading these stories. It's like the same story cycle with Colin Kaepernick like once a week. Well, we're glad that he's here, but we're still open to trading him. Yeah. We read that same story last week. It popped up today.
Yep.
Well, we're not really aggressively looking to move him, but we might.
But if Denver calls.
If Denver calls, if he accepts, you know, the lower contract or whatever it may be. By the way, all these people associating or wanting to associate, because when we talk about quarterback needs, San Francisco comes up, Denver comes up, and the New York Jets comes up. Ryan Fitzpatrick's still out there for a whole lot cheaper than what Sam Bradford is. But if Denver asks Colin Kaepernick to renegotiate his contract, what do you think they're going to do when Sam Bradford's agent comes knocking?
The exact same thing.
They're going to laugh in his face.
Right. Yeah.
Like, sure, we'll talk to you under one condition.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, even though we're talking about organizations are run by people. And people have emotions and feelings. And when your quarterback, i.e. Colin Kaepernick, says, yeah, I'd like to be traded. As an organization, you're hurt.
Right.
So you're going to say, okay, well, he's our quarterback, but we're willing to trade him.
Yeah.
Because he's asked to be traded.
Yeah.
So you can't come back and be like, no, we love him so much. We really want to keep him after he's already expressed, you know, some displeasure with being here.
And I would say at some point over the 3 days of the draft, the Niners are going to draft QB, right? It's just, are they doing it at seven? Are they doing it amongst one of their 12 picks? Somewhere They're going to draft a quarterback this week.
You got to go offensive line at 7, don't you?
Probably.
Is that your biggest need if you're the 49ers?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a longer list, but...
Well, they got a longer list than the Raiders.
Yeah, I would say, can you do it as generic as the best player, not best player available, best player amongst your most important needs? So if, like, you know, like, you could argue they need a running back, but if Ezekiel Elliott's there, I don't think it's your number one need.
Yeah, right.
Where I'd go lineman. I'd go defensive line. I'd go second. You know, there's some other things.
And how come, just out of curiosity, why isn't anyone asking about Ryan
Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick.
I know. He's kind of the one that's discarded, huh?
Yeah. He played pretty well last year.
He's been all right. Yeah.
He just had a really bad week 17.
Yeah.
No
one seems to love him, though. When a playoff position was on the line.
But, like, Sanchez gets the jobs. And some of these other guys are like, well, he's had a better track record, I think.
But Fumble got a job, and Mr. Harvard couldn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Who's played well.
He's too damn smart.
And he's been a very, very solid backup for numerous teams.
Yeah.
Three stories you may not be paying attention to, but you should. And one is coming up next. As we wrap things up here on this hump day.
Hump day.
You know what they say.
What?
What?
If you can't be with the one you love, hump the one you're with.
Did they say that?
I did not know that's what they said.
Oh, it's not? I mix that up?
I saw that on a t-shirt.
Did I? Right?
Maybe.
I read it on a bumper sticker on the way
somewhere. So it must be true.
Yeah.
It's the Lowdown. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. My name is Damian Barling. We thank you so much for tuning in. Jerry, you were on hold all throughout the break. We appreciate your phone call. What do you got for us?
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking the call. Love the new show. Why don't we talk a little Kings, and since specifically DeMarcus, I've gotten back and forth these last two seasons about keeping him or letting him go and getting some. I am currently on the school of keeping him. I'm trying to shell the idea of sports competition down with the idea of sports entertainment. And DeMarcus is very entertaining. To me, he's our Ernie Banks. Now, Sacramento might not be Chicago, but I believe that we are possibly heading down the same path. And I keep waiting for DeMarcus to say, hey, let's play too.
No, there you go, Jerry. We appreciate the call. We appreciate your kind words as well about the show. Always means a lot to us. I think people waffle on DeMarcus all the time.
Yeah.
He's a polarizing figure. He has an interview that's airing with Carmichael Dave, a very long interview that's broken up into about 167 parts. That's going to be airing tomorrow with The Drive at 7:30. Dave and Katie and Nate and all those guys.
It's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be great.
Three stories. I'm actually very anxious to hear it. I was trying to get a sneak peek of it yesterday, and it's under lock and key, so I'll be locked in with everybody else. Three stories you may not be paying attention to, but you should. We call it And One. And the next time you're at your kid's Little League game or basketball game or little football game or whatever it may be, and you think, you know what, that kid right there, he looks too old. There's a good chance he is. And in this case, a Canadian high school basketball player was arrested and accused. He was accused of being nearly 30 years old.
Wait a minute, what?
I'm nearly.
Sorry. So he's 28.
I actually believe he's 29.
Oh, okay. Well, then. That's nearly 30.
He tells authorities it was an honest mistake.
Huh?
He is 6'9". He's 6'9", and he claimed to be a 17-year-old in the 11th grade.
But what was the kicker in that? Wasn't he from another country? Where's he from?
He's from Africa.
So yeah, everyone's like, oh, yeah. They make 6'9" African guys everywhere. You've seen that movie, The Air Up There. Kevin Bacon went, there's like a bunch of them.
I hope he was at least good. It wasn't like he got there and he's like, he's not very good.
We've all have met those guys who really want to relive their glory days.
Yeah.
But this is some next level stuff right here. This is some next level. Chicanery.
You don't do that, and then your box score is like 4 points and two boards.
Yeah. Right.
You're like, you better have had like 30 and 15. You're like, I dominated those kids.
30 and 15? He's 6'9". He better have had at least 80.
80.
That's a shame.
He's 30.
The thing is, it always comes back, in my opinion. This is high school, right?
Yeah.
So what are the coaches doing? What's the principal doing?
I think
doing?
He was living with the coach.
Yep.
The coach is his kid.
Hey, just like.
Is that a delay?
It took a minute to set in. Yeah. Just like the kid that, the little league kid from years ago, Danny Almonte.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. It was his dad and his coach.
Right.
He had a mustache.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson beard.
That's
he's got
right.
a 401k. It's like, dude.
He had a Nike endorsement.
Yeah, he had life figured out.
Cigarettes at halftime.
Yeah.
You kids got to get on the boards.
That's right.
You're killing me out there.
I can't do it all.
What do you got for us?
Well, from one individual that was completely relevant in what was happening with his basketball team to an individual that is completely irrelevant when it comes to the NFL draft. It is the very last player picked. It's called Mr. Irrelevant. And I had the honor of being down in Orange County for 2 years, and I got to cover this actual week where they laud this person with all these gifts, and we have all these ceremonies. And Mr. Irrelevant is really not Mr. Irrelevant, because there have been quite a few guys that have actually made an impact from that last player drafted. But this year's Mr. Irrelevant, heads up, they're saying it's going to be this gentleman. His name is Alex Quatel. He is a offensive guard from Bowling Green, 6'3", 304 pounds. He is projected to be Mr. Irrelevant. And if he's lucky, we'll have a career like, you guys ever heard of John Davis Tuggle? John Tuggle was Mr. Irrelevant in 1983 for the New York Giants. He was voted Special Teams Player of the Year for the New York Giants. Unfortunately, he died of cancer 3 years later. But he had such an impact on the Giants that they paid for his health insurance and his family's health insurance for life.
Nice.
What about, is it Marcus Colston?
Was he Mr. Irrelevant? Might have been.
The Saints receiver, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he Mr. Irrelevant?
No.
No?
He was like a late pick, but he wasn't Mr. Irrelevant.
Are you sure?
Well, I looked up Mr. Irrelevant, and he did not come up.
Yeah.
That's like Mr. Irrelevant who actually had an impact on their team.
I feel badly for the second to last pick, because Mr. Irrelevant gets the praise.
At least he's got a name.
Yeah, they get the second to last.
Doesn't he get a special jersey? Don't they give him a Mr. Irrelevant jersey?
They give him all kinds of stuff down there. Who's the other one? Ryan Suckup is the other one.
Okay,
the
kicker.
Oh, okay, yeah,
he's Mr. Irrelevant as well. Yeah. He made some things happen.
Jason Ross, I can't get over the coach's kid. Like, I can't get over that.
Mine's going to also be draft related, and it's going to be a special day over the next 3 days. You get drafted. Come on, how does it beat that? That's, that feeling is awesome. But there are going to be some guys that won't get drafted that still will play. And there's guys here locally, whether it's Sacramento State, UC Davis. Sac State has a guy, Darnell Sankey, that's an absolute stud. Got hurt going through his kind of camp trying to get ready. So he doesn't think he's going to get drafted. But here's what's great about that. If you don't, now you get to pick where you want to go. Now, if the Jets take it, it's an honor, you go to the Jets. But now it's like, you know what? That looks a little thin at the linebacker spot. Or maybe I can be a special teams player in this team. I think that's one of the bonuses. As much as it would be great to be drafted and have some guarantees, some, if you're not, you can pick where you want to go. And sometimes that's, whether it's a desire to be in a location for a coach or an opportunity, sometimes that's pretty cool. So some guys that don't get their name called, it could still work out.
He might end up being like Todd Davis.
Absolutely.
Sac State player who ends up going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
With the Denver Broncos.
Got a championship now.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be like Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Undrafted free agent. Bill Parcells guy.
Really? I did not know Romo was undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
How did that slip by me?
It's worked okay. Worked out okay for him.
Well, it depends on who you ask. He's had some pretty hot girlfriends along the way.
He's played that one right.
Marcus Colston was drafted 252nd, four spots away from the end of the draft.
From 256 or 257.
I knew he was close.
He was just relevant.
That's a good pull, man.
He was
slightly relevant.
You're still too relevant to get the title.
And why do I feel like he's from here?
Marcus Colston. I don't know why you feel that way.
California.
Marcus Colston is from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So
that's close to us.
Just outside.
It's down the street.
Just turn left.
Eastern California.
Yeah. It's Eastern California. We have an abbreviated show, abbreviated version of the Lowdown tomorrow, right after A's baseball. So we encourage you to stick around after the game. For Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. The Grant Napier Show is coming up next.